Welcome to the Redneck Dentist Podcast. I am Doc Mike, host of the podcast. A series of Forrest Gump-like events have brought me to where I am, a small-town country dentist. My experiences in country living, country freedom, country dentistry, and my reaction to pertinent current events will help you live a life of more freedom and less worry. Thank you for choosing the Redneck Dentist Podcast. So let's get to today's freedom-inspiring episode. Yeah, let's do this. Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Real Liberty Media. Doc Mike here with the Redneck Dentist Podcast. Thank you for all the support. I appreciate it so much. Thanks for joining us live here on Real Liberty Media. Thanks for downloading the podcast every week from wherever you get it. I appreciate it. You can find it in lots of places, your favorite podcast server, I guess you would call it. I'd just like to say for a minute, if you guys could, just post to your social media, anybody you know, tell them we're live, have them come in, join the chat room, and we're building rebuilding a community here on Real Liberty Media, so I appreciate any support, and get people in here so we can have some fun in the chat. I appreciate it so much. Hey, just a short announcement. I'll say this several more times before we get there, but September 28th is a Wednesday. I got to go to a meeting in Salem. I won't be here. I might do a pre-recorded show or something. I don't know how that'll work, but we'll figure it out. Today, second day of cardiac rehab. I did 31 minutes of kind of, I don't know, light to medium exercise. I wasn't slacking. I just not ready to put in, you know, full speed ahead yet. I mean, it's only the second day for crying out loud. So, but hey, it felt pretty dang good to be moving, to get my heart rate up, and to know that, you know, I'm getting back on track to where I was before the stupid heart attack, you know, riding the bike and stuff. So it's kind of interesting. Cardiac rehab, let's see, what do you do? I think I did a treadmill. I did a arm bicycle, like just the arms, and then an elliptical. And I don't know, there was five machines. Can't remember what all five they were. You know, they're kind of repetitive. Like one was a recumbent bike with arms and feet, and one was just elliptical with just your, no, that was arms and feet too. And the treadmill, I don't know. I'll pay attention better next time so I can give you a report. But it's really interesting. They hook you up to monitors and, you know, your heart rate is shown on the screen where they're sitting, and you just go and do your thing, and yeah, that's pretty good. It's kind of nice to do it under supervision. I, you know, this is a funny thing. I know my heart is fine now. I mean, it has a little tiny area of damage, but for the most part, it's fine. Hang on. Yeah, just got to get back to, you know, being active and stuff. So, I guess what I'm trying to say is I don't really feel like I'm hurt in some way. I feel like, okay, I had a heart attack. They fixed it. Now let's go. And I don't have any irregular heartbeat or whatever. I mean, everything just seems fine, so I'm going to go with everything's just fine, right? Today, I started, you know, working on that 79 Chevy pickup again. It'd been sitting for a few months, well, you know, kind of years, but I used it up until a couple months ago when a rat built a nest into the air cleaner area and my carburetor quit working, so I ordered a new Edelbrock carburetor for it. Because the one that was on there had been rebuilt a few times, so, you know, didn't want to rebuild it again, and I wanted to put a different carburetor on it anyway, because that's the way the truck is headed, is to be a little rebuild and a little customization. And, you know, yeah, after the heart attack, I kind of feel like, hey, I better get this done if I'm going to do it in this lifetime. So anyway. So I took the old carb off today, went down, ordered a new one, and, you know, watched a video on installing the new one. It's not going to come in. I won't get to it till this weekend, so no big hurry there. But, you know, it's back in active rebuilding mode. As you remember, I have to replace a fender on it, and I'm just a bunch of stuff, but it'll be cool when it's all done, and hopefully I get it done sooner rather than later. Oh, I just noticed something. Hang on, Pete, sorry. I gotta do this. I had my, I'm recording again the video portion, and I forgot to turn the freaking studio lights on, so there we go. Now we're back in business. All right, good. You know, it's kind of funny. The whole video thing is new to me. So, you know, bear with me these first few shows while I get everything going. I think the last one turned out pretty good. I screwed up something editing. So I think the first 39 seconds is black, but with voice. And then it's fine. This week I won't make that same mistake. And I think it's, well, it's not better than the photos I've been putting up in place of a video, but I think people will appreciate this maybe more or not. I don't know. You know, having a face and maybe some background. I have a background going right now, but, you know, when I bring up stories in the browser, you'll be able to see them and kind of follow along if you're interested, if you're watching it on, you know, one of the download sites, Rumble, BitChute, and Odyssey. Man, those are some strange sites, I just want to tell you. You know, no matter what quality you shoot your video at, it really degrades the video when you put it up on that site. Which is kind of sad, but, I mean, you know, it's not expensive to be able to put your stuff up there, so that's pretty cool. And I think there's some big changes coming, you know. I was kind of surprised that... did you guys see that YouTube kind of backed off on a bunch of the stuff that it had restricted before, that it called fake news before? And I heard this through some other people who told me, hey, YouTube now has I don't know what you would call it, de-censored some things. And it was actually watching this one channel called Retracted, and they wouldn't even say this stuff because you could tell they were afraid of getting strikes for saying that YouTube now has, you know, unbanned certain, you know, before restricted subjects, like saying, you know, the vaccines don't work. Well, now you can say the vaccines aren't very effective, or the vaccines don't prevent you from getting, you know, COVID, which, good Lord Almighty. I mean, I don't know why they're doing it now. I would really hope that the reason they're doing it now is because they're lying bastards. And, you know, they've been restricting free speech for long enough. Maybe they're doing it for before the midterm elections to look like the good guys or something. I don't know. Man, I can't believe it's just like 2 months away from elections, October, November. Yeah, 2 months, man. And we'll see what happens. We are going to see what happens. It's the craziest thing. You know, I get... promotions all the time from politicians that want me to make a donation, and all these, I don't know, other organizations that want you to support them. And I think to myself, listen, man, like, you haven't done anything, like, you didn't do anything during the whole COVID thing, to make me feel like I would support you in one way or another anyway. Not that I would, because I don't do that anymore. But, you know, it's like you get these things all the time. Oh, the Democrats are going to ruin the world unless you send us money. And I'm like, hey, you had plenty of money before, and they still are ruining everything. You're not stopping anybody from doing anything. So why would anybody give you money now, again? I have no idea. I really have no idea. But I suppose it works for some people, you know, like, yeah, we got to jump on the bandwagon and support this. You know, we're going to lose, and, you know, the Democrats are going to continue on their march, which I think they're going to anyway. You know, just like Biden forgiving these student loans. Apparently it's not legal for the president to just go and decide to spend money on his own. Yeah, that's not proper. But didn't stop him. And, you know, as I've said before about several of these things that have come up in the past, you know, by the time it goes through the courts and gets challenged and everything, the money's gone, you know, the damage is done. It's just a matter of somebody saying, oh, yeah, you couldn't do that. So how are we going to recoup that money? I mean, you're obviously not going to get it from those deadbeats that didn't, that weren't paying their loans in the first place. And, you know, for whatever reason, I mean, I think there's some, I don't want to say good reason, but there's some people, man, that went to a program to get a skill, and then they came out of that program in a lot of debt, and they're making money, and they're making pretty good money, but dang it, man, it's expensive to live, right? Especially if you want to have a car and you want to live in an apartment. Like, you don't want to live with a bunch of people. You kind of want to be slightly independent. It's expensive. It's really expensive. So, and then, of course, there were so much delays and so many deferments, I guess, that, you know, people just were able to not pay those loans off, you know, for the longest time. And now, of course, they are, well, $10,000 of it is going to be forgiven. I guess that's hopefully going to help them. I hope. We'll see. Let's see, where are we going today? A couple things I wanted to talk about. Okay, I talked about the truck and the, okay, good. Hey, my survival tip of the day is don't move to California. I'll tell you why in a bit. But holy cow, man, the people that do live in California now, I cannot possibly understand why this week, like today, you didn't pack your freaking goods and leave. Seriously. It's scary in California, man. For many different reasons, but holy cow. We're going to get to it for sure. It's kind of my editorial of the day. I don't have any real, you know, documented stories to go with it. I'm just going to kind of tell you what I'm thinking as a human being. I'm going to put a link in the show notes today, because I've talked about ivermectin a number of times. And I wanted to pass this on. Yeah, I'm not going to actually say, I'm going to find this here. Ivermectin. I wrote an article, so here it is. Ivermectin, yeah. Oh, yeah, okay, so I'm just going to read this. Wait, I wonder if I can bring it up. Let's see if it shows up on the, oh, yeah. Ivermectin. Ivermectin, they call it, prophylaxis used for COVID-19, a citywide prospective observational study of 223,000 people using propensity score matching. But this is what I think is interesting about this. And I have to find it here. We analyzed, let me get to it. In the absence of contraindications, ivermectin was offered as an optional treatment to be taken for 2 consecutive days every 15 days at a dose of 0.2 milligrams per kilogram per day. Okay, that's what the article says. That's not me saying it. That's what the article says. But it's pretty amazing. Of the 223,000 citizens of, well, this place, considered for the study, a total of 159,000 of them were included in the analysis. 113,000 regular ivermectin users and 45,000 non-users. Of these, 4,000 ivermectin users were infected, among which 4,197 were from the city of Itaje, 3.7% infection rate, and 3,000 of the non-users from Itaje were infected, and that was a 6.6% infection rate. With a 44% reduction in COVID-19 infection rate, which means the people who were taking ivermectin had a much lower infection rate than the people that didn't. And anyway, it's a great article. I actually had somebody text me this week, which was really kind of cool because I'm not going to say where it's from. It's somebody in my life that I see pretty much daily. And they texted me and said, hey, a friend of mine has got COVID and they want to know what you took, you know, to help prevent COVID. And, so I told them all the stuff that I take to prevent COVID, and I said, but you have to make sure you're taking a human dose, and I actually recommended that they call their doc first and, you know, see if the doc would write a prescription, because apparently now that's one of those things that you should be able to have your medical doctor write you prescription for ivermectin and take that instead. And you know, the CDC just said like a week or two ago, hey, it's time for us to do a self-assessment and decide for ourselves what the best course of action is going to be. And that's kind of amazing to me that they actually came out and said it, but they did. So, you know, they should be freeing up the ivermectin. You know, they locked it up. They wouldn't allow it to be shipped or to be taken out of storage and distributed to all these pharmacies or pharmaceutical supply places. Uh-oh, I got a sneeze. Hang on. Nope, not yet. I'll just sneeze on the air. What the heck? Nobody will care. Anyway. So I think it's important that you know that there are treatments available, that this is a treatment that has been proven to work against viruses, and not only this virus, it actually worked against HIV, it's worked against several other viruses, and that wasn't the intent of ivermectin at all. Ivermectin was originally developed to prevent, I think, river blindness and something else, which are caused by parasites. And it turns out that it also has antiviral effects. So I wanted to make sure people saw and know how to access this information. It's easy also to just do a search in your favorite browser and find the information. It's not easy, but it's fairly easy. I think you can find it. And you can order it. And, you know, it's good to have some on hand, I think. Although, you know, the whole pandemic is kind of being swept under the rug now because, you know, it's like, well, it's over. You know, we don't have a pandemic anymore, which is kind of interesting. I'm going to get to a story today that kind of shows you, yeah, the pandemic is over, but we got other problems. And, you know, I just did a full show on COVID. I think that was the last show. And I'm not kidding. It's like every single day, more stuff comes out that proves that what some of us have been saying for 2 years is coming true. I mean, is becoming public knowledge. Because I even said way back in the beginning, I said, look, it's going to take a while for institutions to do some studies with some data, repeatable studies, to be able to show that what we said in the beginning, what a lot of people knew in the beginning, was true, even though they were calling it fake news and they were calling it disinformation. And, you know, now YouTube has, you know, done a 180-degree turn and said, well, you know, you can go ahead and say this stuff now because, yeah, we're finding out it's true. Well, people had early studies that showed this stuff was true way back when, but apparently it wasn't enough, which is kind of crazy because, like, their whole vaccine or one of their vaccine protocols was based on information from studying 8 mice and the reaction of 8 mice to their concoction. Pretty sad. 8 mice. And you're going to see in the information I have today that that wasn't enough. And what we're seeing today, the real results of what we're seeing from the vaccination of the entire world, yeah, it's crazy. And it's sad. And, you know, I was going to say, I kind of feel like I was a victim of it too. And my own fault. I took the vaccine. That's okay. That's okay. We're living. For now, we're living. Let's move on. Because I wanted to get to this, and this kind of blew me away. You know, I'm always listening to all kinds of information. And I noticed a story last night. I think it's been on the news like 2 days, different news, you know, feeds that I've seen. This Fisher-Price rocker, I'm going to go to it. Yeah. CPSC and Fisher-Price warn consumers about 13 deaths in Fisher-Price infant to toddler and newborn to toddler rockers. Advised rockers should never be used for sleep. Hello. I mean, like all of us, I think, rocked our babies to sleep. And wouldn't you think that somebody who made a rocker made it so you could rock your baby to sleep? Now, maybe what they mean now is, well, you shouldn't leave them in the rocker. Because apparently it's killed 13 different kids, right? This is not good. It's not good. I really hate doing this to everybody. This is horrible. Honest to God, horrible. That 13 children have been killed by a Fisher-Price infant to toddler and newborn to toddler rocker. I feel horrible for these people who bought this rocker believing that it had been proven safe by the who knows what, you know, consumer safety. I don't know what CPSC is. Actually, it's right in the freaking article. Consumer Product Safety Commission. So the CPSC, you would think, would have given already given its approval for this thing to go out in public and for people to be able to buy it and feel safe that their kids were going to be able not be killed by it or not suffer death, because apparently when your child is in this thing, it can put their head in a way that cuts off their windpipe and they just asphyxiate. That's horrible. Seriously, it is horrible that 13 children died. I don't know how many of these things were sold. Let's have a look. Be interesting. You know, I don't know how many of them were sold, and it doesn't really look like it says, but basically they're telling you now, at least 13 reported deaths between 2009, listen to this, 2009 and 2021. That's a long time, man. That's like 12 years. Consumers are encouraged to report incidents involving these and other infant products, blah, blah, blah. Fisher-Price has sold more than 17 million rockers worldwide since the 1990s, and reviews and evaluates reported incidents that occurred while infants were in the product, blah, blah, blah. Listen, this is the craziest thing. So this warning that they had to send out, it's kind of interesting that Fisher-Price and the CPSC actually had to negotiate every single word of the warning before the warning could be put out. So what's kind of crazy is there was a big delay in getting the warning to the public, because the lawyers were involved in like, hey, we can't say this word, or hey, it has to be put in this order. And unbelievable that Fisher-Price actually had some hand in controlling when that warning was put out. Okay, but here's the problem I have, right? You know, hypocrisy and irony. COVID jab damages children. We kind of went over this before. Vax damages, bring it up on the, over here. CDC survey, more than half of babies, toddlers, had systemic reactions after COVID-19 vaccine. Parents reported 6% of young children were unable to do normal activities after the second dose. More than 55% of children ranging in age between 6 months and 2 years had a systemic reaction after their first dose of the Pfizer BioNTech or Moderna COVID-19 vaccine, according to data released by the Center for Disease Control and Prevention on September 1st. In addition, almost 60% had a reaction to the second dose of the Moderna vaccine, and the CDC survey of more than 13,000 children. A systemic reaction is a response beyond the injection site. In other words, it's not like redness, swelling, itching, bleeding, infection, whatever. While the most common systemic reactions were fatigue, fever, irritability, and crying, parents of more than 6% of the children in the study said their child was unable to perform normal activities after the second dose of either Pfizer or Moderna. What I can't believe is CDC actually published this, but we have more in just a minute. Parents of more than 10,000 young children reported reactions to the CDC through BeSafe in the 7 days after the child had received the COVID-19 vaccine. BeSafe is a different kind of reporting system. It's not the VAERS reporting system, but it should have been put in the VAERS reporting system. But, yeah, it talks about BeSafe. And I want to get to the rest of the story here. Because it's pertinent. Yeah, I said, but this is okay. Lies and censorship over COVID vaccine death. This past week, Dr. Michael Yaden, the former chief science, officer and VIP of Pfizer, stated that it was crazy to give COVID vaccines to children, claiming the COVID vaccine kills 50 times the number of children as the COVID virus. Yeah, I heard today, there was actually a news story on today to make sure you get your kids in and take this freaking horrible jab that kills 50 times more children than the actual virus does. What are we doing? And why? I don't know how to stop people. I honestly don't. I wish I had more time to just go out with a sandwich board on the street of Sheridan and say, don't kill your kids with this vaccine. Maybe I need a sandwich board. I think I could make the time. I don't know. I don't know why people aren't hearing the truth more often. I think people have been so brainwashed by the mainstream media. They're fed this information constantly, you know, because all of those huge companies continue to, of course, support all of the programs that are on TV, and of course Pfizer will be the sponsor of whatever program, and they'll get their little, you know, public service announcement in from the CDC or the U.S. Public Health Service, the National Institutes of Health, about, you know, how great it is to get your child vaccinated. It's so important to get your child vaccinated. Yet the vaccine kills 50 times more children than the virus. Tell me, seriously, why would you take your child to get this vaccine if you knew that the jab killed 50 times more children than the virus? That's what the former chief science officer and VP of Pfizer stated. Yeah. And it says, but the data, the hard science, backs up Yaden's concern that the COVID vaccines will kill more children than COVID itself. But worrying data indicates that children, especially boys, have far higher rates of death and serious injury, myocarditis, hello, reactions from COVID vaccines than adults. Even extrapolating these 0.0022% adult death rate to children, there will be 2,500 child deaths in America from the COVID vaccine. 2,500. So 13 people die, 13 children, infants, toddlers, newborns, die when Fisher-Price puts out a rocker, and holy hell, you know, we have to stop the production of these rockers. But you take those kids that lived and get them down there and get them a vaccine, for God's sake. You got to protect them from COVID. Fifty times more children will die from the vax than die from COVID, so says the former chief science officer of Pfizer. But the big news is that Fisher-Price has a rocker that'll kill 13 children in a few years. It drives me kind of crazy that, you know, you see this on your local news. They want to make sure you know. They want to make sure you know to protect your child from this Fisher-Price rocker that's killed 13 children. And my heart breaks for those. Can you imagine? I can't even imagine going to get my infant, newborn, or young child out of one of these rockers and they are stone cold dead. I don't know how you continue to live your life. That would really tear me up. Because you had no intention, obviously, of putting your baby in a death trap, right? So do you march him in to the nearest Walmart, CV, Rite Aid to get their vaccine when you know it's 50 times higher chance they're going to die from the vaccine than from COVID? And that's why I said, I think 6 months ago when everybody was predicting this huge red wave at the midterm elections, and I said, I don't think so. I just don't think so. You have people who are marching their children in to get this vaccine. Excuse me. Marching these people in to get this vaccine. That could kill them. That could kill their children. You think those people have any idea what's going on in the world? Do you think those people are aware of what has happened with Hunter Biden? Do you think those people understand the relationship between Hunter Biden and Joe Biden, the President of the United States, and what's going on with Ukraine and China and Russia? No, they don't. They have no idea. They probably don't pay attention to anything that's going on in the world. They probably don't care. Obviously, if they're marching their kids down to get this vaccine, for God's sake. Well, what else is on the list? Oh, so that guy says, are we really going to kill 2,500 children to save maybe 325 to 800? Do you see what I'm saying? No vaccine has ever before been approved in history that kills more than it saves. But we did it. We, the United States, the World Health Organization, the CDC, the NIH. Hey, but I don't think it's over. Well, let's go to this before I cover the sequel. Know what the sequel is? This is crazy. Did lockdowns cause increased mortality rates? Recently, the discovery, nope, that's the wrong story. I got to go down here. Over the past 2 months, the number of excess deaths not from COVID dwarfs the number linked to the virus. Cardiovascular problems kill in record numbers. In all, non-COVID deaths are now more than three times that of COVID-related deaths. Get that? However, while lack of routine health care, people avoiding seeing their doctors for fear of COVID or due to various restrictions like having to wear a mask, social distancing, may well have played a role. Cardiovascular problems such as heart attacks and strokes are the primary side effects of the jab as well. Did you hear that? What happened to me? If you guys go back and listen to my original show on Homestead heart attack, you'll see I kind of laid out the argument that I had a COVID heart attack. There's another possibility. It wasn't cholesterol, I can tell you that. never had high cholesterol. I still didn't have high cholesterol when they tested me in the hospital. Yeah, so go watch that show. But anyway, yeah, heart attack. May well have played a role. Cardiovascular problems such as heart attacks and strokes are the primary side effects of the jab as well. He describes, the guy who wrote this story here, how at the very end of May 2021, an odd signal developed in his COVID tracking model. This odd signal came in the form of an ICD death code, International Classification of Diseases, called R00 to R99, which stands for Symptoms, Signs, and Abnormal Clinical and Laboratory Findings Not Elsewhere Classified. In other words, deaths from undetermined causes. Disturbingly, he discovered the death records were inexplicably being redacted and deleted during a very crucial time period, weeks 4 through 20 in 2022. It is hard to envision a scenario explaining this 52,000 record data tampering across the most at-risk weeks of 2022 as not constituting malicious obfuscation of U.S. citizen mortality data, he writes. The most common cardiovascular effects were tachycardia, shortness of breath, palpitations, chest pain, hypertension. 7 participants exhibited at least one elevated cardiac biomarker or positive lab assessment. So, you know, now we have unexplained deaths just going on in the world. No explanation. Somewhere I read, I can't remember, how high the mortality rate for young men, how much it has increased, like their life expectancy has decreased so much over the last 2 years. It's crazy. And sad, too, because if you think about the long-term effects of either gender being having a shortened lifespan, I mean, they're the ones who have to keep the earth populated, have to repopulate, you know, replace the ones of us who are going, who are on the way out. You know, and I already talked several times about the damage that the vaccine does to both male and female reproductive abilities. It's been documented. Yeah, they talked about it in the very beginning, you know, like don't get the jab because it'll cause this, you know, it'll cause sterilization, make you become infertile. Oh no, that's fake news, says Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube. No, it's not going to interfere with your ability to reproduce. Oops. It interferes with your ability to reproduce. All of those things. I actually have a section in my show notes every week that's, let me go see what I called it. Kind of funny. Fake news unfaked. Every single week, I could put several different subjects in there. But I just kind of cover the story so we can all kind of line them up together, right? Oh, and I'm going to keep doing it, man, because I want people to know the truth. You know, there's other crap in the news. I know there was some celebrity horse crap in the news. You know, I don't care about any celebrities. You know, if they stick to acting and actually entertain me without trying to corrupt me at the same time, I would appreciate them. But you don't even get that anymore. Everything has some message in it. Even, I'm telling you, I've said this before too, even when I'm watching, Nature, or I forget the names of those other shows on, I like watching some of these documentaries of places around the world, but it seems like if you watch on PBS or Nat Geo or Planet Earth, no, what's the Animal Planet, you know, they all have to put in there how man is the destructive one on Earth, which could be true. We're also the only ones who can fix it, if it needs fixing, besides Mother Earth. She does a very good job of fixing herself. I've always said, you know, I don't believe in abusing natural resources, but we were put here to manage natural resources. Kind of one of our jobs. If you read the Bible, it's one of the first things in the Bible. Wow, and then we have this. This is freaking awesome, too. COVID-19 pandemic has brought a life-threatening infection spike in hospitals, raising serious concerns. Guess what it is? I bet you could guess. If you know anything about hospital infections, you know what it is. It's MRSA. During the COVID-19 pandemic, a life-threatening infection of a superbug spiked in hospitals, raising significant concerns. MRSA, which stands for Methicillin-Resistant Staphylococcus aureus, is one of the most well-known superbugs or bacteria that are resistant to most antibiotics. Since 2010, laboratory-identified cases of MRSA infection have been significantly decreasing. However, as the COVID-19 pandemic swept through the United States, hospitals have experienced an increase in the number of MRSA infections. The hospital overload has resulted in higher healthcare-associated infections. During the fourth quarter of 2020, the National MRSA Bacteremia Standardization Infection Ratio was 34% higher than that of 2019. And you know what really scares me about this? So why did MRSA increase during the pandemic? Because when you think about it, I got to get a drink. Oh. When you think about it, we were on the, not that hospitals weren't before, but this was the highest level of infection control and sterilization processes that the world has ever known. Like I like to think in our dental clinic, in the dental clinic I work in, that we were really good at infection control before this ever happened. But you know what? We increased our infection control even after, I mean, after the pandemic started. It was like we kind of reviewed everything and we were like, okay, we do everything right. We wipe down all the surfaces. We wear our personal protection equipment. But we have to do more now. So, I mean, we would see, literally, I mean, the infection control was unbelievable. I would see one patient, no other patients allowed in the clinic. I would see one patient in one room. We had five rooms. When we finished that patient, that room had to sit, I forget, it was either 15 or 20 minutes before we could bring anybody. We had to bring, if we were bringing another patient in, they had to be two rooms down, so that all of the aerosol that I created while I was working on that patient, all that aerosol went, you know, settled in that room before we started the cleanup process. I mean, all of the instruments stayed in that room. The ham pieces stayed in the room. Any bloody instruments, any drills, any ham pieces, every single bit of equipment that was in that room stayed in that room. And we disposed of our PPE before we left the room, so that we weren't carrying bugs out into the hallway. And we were pretty damn well covered, too. Hat, mask, goggles, shield, gown, pants. They were all disposable. Shoe covers. Yeah, we were covered from head to toe. And you can bet, I mean, you saw the pictures in the hospitals, and they didn't even allow people to come in or go out of the hospital. Didn't even allow them. You couldn't go in and visit your dying parents. So the MRSA, how did that spike during that time, especially in the hospital? I mean, that's really scary when you think about it. Ooh, I kind of hate to think that maybe, you know, because of the shortage of staff. I mean, but this would make perfect sense. They fired so many people or wouldn't allow them to work because they didn't fall for this fake narrative about this vax actually being able to do any damn good. And thank God for those people for putting up the fight too, by the way. Probably saved some lives. Probably saved some of their own lives. But maybe because there was such a decrease in hospital healthcare staff in general, maybe they weren't able to keep up on the infection control. Maybe they had to hurry so much between patients that they didn't actually kill all of the bugs between, you know, between patients exchanging rooms. Maybe something in the virus turned on MRSA. Maybe something in the virus crippled the immune system so it couldn't fight MRSA. That seems logical, considering what I've read about how this vaccine kind of cripples your immune system. It can actually wear it out or make it so tired, fatigued, that it's not going to do its job. I don't know why. I don't know why it happened, but it happened. Another study, man. Something we didn't even see coming. Another side effect of this vaccine. Another side effect of this pandemic of politics. How many more are we going to find? Seems like a bunch. It seems like we're going to keep finding out stuff. It's a rough time, man. But again, I mean, I'm going back thinking, okay, but the midterms are coming up. What's going to change? Oh, I got to get to this. I think I have two more stories. I almost missed this, and this is the big one. Wait, where is it? Please. No, where is it? Yeah, here it is. Oh, you're going to love this one. New virus breakout raises questions of bioterrorism. Are you ready for this? Recently, the Langya virus is in Shandong and Henan provinces of China has quickly attracted the attention of medical experts around the world. The virus is a type of zoonotic henopavirus and 35 people have been identified to be infected with this Langya virus since 2019 in these two provinces in China. Notably, this virus is related to the Mojang virus found in the infamous Mojian caves, where the bat-borne coronavirus most similar to the SARS-CoV-2 was discovered. The Wuhan Institute of Virology has become very interested in henopaviruses as of late, taking great pains to obtain and reconstruct the Nipah virus, which is not even a threat in China. Wuhan, again. And another virus that's being, what do we call it? Change of functioned. Another one coming our way. Oh, it's not monkeypox. Oh, monkeypox may have been a distraction. Monkeypox may be another, you know, bioweapon. Could be. Get ready for Langya virus. Oh, my goodness. Okay, let's get on to the last thing. I really want to cover this. Last little story. Oh, yeah, perfect timing, probably. I say, welcome to Green Utopia. California is probably the leader in eliminating cheap, dirty energy producers. Probably also one of the leaders of selling the green idea behind electric cars. It is also a state that is severely dependent on other states to provide them with enough water to sustain life. Well, enter summertime and the long streak of temperatures over 100 degrees, expecting rolling blackouts due to the lack of energy being produced and an overwhelming demand from people who just desire to stay cool. Don't charge your electric car during peak energy demand hours, like when you get home from work, and don't water your lawns or keep the greenery around your home green, even though wildfires are blooming and growing, and one barrier to those fires consuming your home is to keep the area around it green. Hey, but this is California. People love living in California. They're running out of water. They're running out of power. But Californians, you are green. Good on you. I'm telling you, I can't understand, honestly, why people live in California today. I can't understand why. I actually heard a story briefly. My wife was talking to one of my daughter or son. And they were talking about the power being out in Northern California because they're down there taking care of their dad. And, yeah, it's like 110, 109, 119, I don't know. And, yeah, the power goes out. Or you could be like in Colorado where Essex Power Initiative or Co-op or whatever it's called just like refuses to let you adjust your own thermostat. Oh, I got to tell you this. This is the greatest story. No, it's not. It's just another story, but it's really interesting. I think it kind of will put everything else that I've talked about over the past 2 years in perspective. One of my dental assistants has a new boyfriend, and he, hopefully I get this out before, we're probably going to make it. And he works in a facility that makes crematoriums. It actually makes the furnace part of a crematorium. And his company makes them for humans and makes them for pets. And I was like, wow, that's really interesting. I go, is there a big demand for those things? And she asked him, and he said, yeah, we ship them every day all over the world, these crematoriums. And I was like, really? Now, you would think there'd be more than one place that makes crematoriums, right, in the world. I hope there is. But even if there is, and I know there's a lot of crematoriums in the world, and I know that they don't... I'll see you guys on Saturday night. Thank you for listening to the Redneck Dentist Podcast. Please show your support for the podcast. This podcast is not on the biggest platforms, but it is on the best free speech platforms. Until next time, remember, all bleeding eventually stops.